apprenticeships, key factors that we've talked about regularly as far as Siren FM is actually concerned, and we'll continue to do so because a recent study has revealed they put £34 billion into the UK economy this year. A report that's recently been released to mark 100 years of apprenticeship. So a whole range of things coming through with respect to that. And we're delighted, therefore, to welcome to the show the Deputy Director of the National Apprenticeship Service. That would be the wonderful Karen Woodward. How are you, Karen?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So, looking at some of the figures here, the number of people starting an apprenticeship each year has grown from around 100,000 in 1950 to more than 450,000 people in 2013 and 14, with the likelihood of delivering in excess of 2 million apprenticeships in the lifetime of this Parliament. That's a phenomenal growth rate.
It is a fantastic success story and something that I think both businesses and young people should be equally proud of.
Which is great stuff. Now, the line about apprentices in all sorts of ways. I mean, interesting enough that on Thursday, the 27th of November, of course, which is today, if you're listening to this particular piece, employers have been delivering apprenticeships for 100 years. It's a celebration. There's going to be an event on board HMS St Albans with some of these apprentices. We have a lot of cliches in terms of what we believe apprentices actually are, because you can become an apprentice at any particular stage in your life, although traditionally it tends to be people have been in the sort of young adult phase of the sort of mid-teenage years and so on, presumably.
It is still mainly for younger people, so mainly around 16 to 24, tends to be the entry route into your new career. But increasingly, we are seeing more and more employers using apprenticeships as the way to train their existing staff, particularly when they get promoted or move jobs, because employers recognise that apprenticeship training really gives good returns on investment both to them as an employer but also to the people that they employ.
One of the things we're constantly saying within the University of Lincoln, of course, to our students, obviously they will be graduates, they'll be heading off into that sort of things, etc. But is there a way in which you can tie in things like internships, apprenticeships? Do they fit together, or are they fundamentally different sort of beasts from that point of view?
I think the biggest difference between an apprenticeship, internship, going to college or university, is that it is a job. So you're in employment and you're undertaking training towards a nationally recognised qualification. Increasingly, that qualification can be a degree. So actually, the university in Lincoln worked very well with Siemens on delivering higher apprenticeships for their engineers, and many of them move on to get their BEng qualifications. So apprenticeships is that tying up between formal education and practising it in the workplace.
OK, we've got two fabulous souls in the studio, one of whom is actually making her debut, and she's an English undergraduate at present, soon to be graduate in the final year. That's Juliet Welsh. Juliet, did you ever think of doing an apprenticeship, or have you thought of areas of, in terms of apprenticeships you might like to do, or are you heading into a different career path entirely?
I think there's doing an English degree, there is a element of I will have to do some sort of
job.
further
a shock there, but yeah.
But a further qualification after I get my degree,
sure.
Because I think anything I go into, whether it be something like purchasing or if I do teaching, I'm going to have to do a further qualification anyway.
Absolutely. So. And we've also got Emma Tinson. Emma's in the level two journalism student. Now, journalism, I would have thought, actually, Karen, kind of used to use apprenticeships. I mean, and it still does, because the thing that impressed me again recently is just how wide the apprenticeship sort of scheme actually operates, really, and what opportunities are provided. I mean, Emma, you've thought about your sort of career development from that point of view?
Yeah, I mean, the reason I chose this degree was because of the accreditation that came with the course. So I knew that was something that employers would then look at and regard me as higher to other candidates. But I definitely think doing some sort of internship or an apprenticeship would benefit you, because ultimately, coming out of university, you have the skills and the knowledge but perhaps aren't quite prepared for working life full time.
Does that resonate with yourself, Karen, in terms of the view from the current undergraduate, shall we say?
Well, certainly the feedback that we get from employers is they really welcome that blend that an apprenticeship gives them from both graduates, undergraduates, but also putting that work and knowledge into practice. So increasingly, employers see the option for young people at 18 being a choice between, do you want to go to university because the particular job you want to do requires you to do that? or do you want to go to university, get your degree and then secure a job? Or do you want to go the apprenticeship route where you secure a job and then secure your degree en route? The apprenticeship takes longer. Many apprentices looking to get their degree probably take 2 to 3 years longer than going to university full time. But they do come back with the statement of, you know, I've got a job, I'm earning, I'm debt-free, and I've still got my degree. So it's what's right for the individual, what's right for the job.
Emma, any questions or thoughts on the story yourself?
No, I find it quite interesting, actually, because my dad, before he went to university, he went and did an apprenticeship for a year. Do you think it's beneficial in the long term to have an apprenticeship as well as a degree?
Increasingly, what we're getting, I think it absolutely, I would answer your question first and foremost, is there is a real benefit of having strong work experience linked to your qualification. But I would still say it depends on the job and the opportunity. But employers are increasingly seeing higher apprenticeships as a great value option for them in terms of recruitment of talented individuals that progress through the business.
Juliet, any thoughts for yourself?
All I would have to say is there's quite an obvious point to make, that there's a lot of people coming out of university who don't necessarily have a job lined up for them. Mm. I think apprenticeships is probably a really good way to get into that.
Okay, quite interesting. I mean, I must admit, I have this sort of notion that always springs to mind, probably reveals more about me, Karen. I think of the Sorcerer's Apprentice. I think, you know, what are we going to be doing with respect to Made by Apprentices? Where's Mickey Mouse going to be appearing in that particular aspect? But presumably he won't be appearing, because the Sorcerer's Apprentice is an American thing in any case, so we won't go down that line. Are you looking forward to the actual sort of... will you be there, of course, on HMS Belfast and putting an appearance? I mean, surely you'll get the day off to do that, won't you?
I'd like to think it was a day off, but yeah. I don't think it is. I think I'll be working. But I am really looking forward to tomorrow. It's a tremendous opportunity. And, of course, we will be joined by an employer from the Lincolnshire area, because the Lincolnshire Co-op is one of those employers that's been in existence for more than 100 years, a real strong recruiter and trainer of apprentices. And their apprentices have been taking part in a project over this past year, developing a centenary garden at Bolton Park. And so Lincolnshire Co-op will be on board ship tomorrow, all ship-shape and looking happy, hoping to win an award for the work that they've done this year.
Well, Karen, you're contributing to the officially recognised East Midlands Radio Station of the Year, because we've won the award for the second year running here at Siren FM at the University of Lincoln. So great news there. Award-winning all round. It's been a genuine pleasure touching base with your good self. Got two final questions I'm going to throw at you. Not too difficult ones, I trust. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been really great being able to have a chat with you and to Julia and Emma, and I wish them every success for their futures.
Nice. Oh,
thank you.
So the next critical question is, Karen, can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future and keeping us updated with the fabulous work you do as Deputy Director of the National Apprenticeship Service?
It will be my pleasure. Thank you very much, Alex.
Excellent. The Escorts. Why does the world go round? Because if it didn't, the planet would cease to be. Got to revolve. Everything's moving. Constant change, but in a good way. You're listening to the Literary Drive Morning Edition. The last 15 minutes, 900 seconds actually going. I mean, already, Emma, we've taken the listener through the accompaniment of Katie Grimerson from Birmingham, Richard Fitzwilliams from London, Ian Lennox from Tyneside, of course, Alice Beer, and Ayaz from Asda, Ayaz Alam, and Black Friday, Andy Comfort, and we were just hearing there, of course, with Juliet Welsh. She did very well for her debut, I thought, Juliet.
Yeah. Yeah,
I wasn't expecting it, but she's gone now, of course.
You know,
she'll be back again, hopefully, unless we sort of frightened her too much. But Juliet was with us talking, of course, to Karen Woodward there from the apprenticeship scheme. Still to come, Joe Hemmings is going to be talking about Small Business Saturday, a survey actually carried out by American Express, which is an interesting setup in its own way. But Small Business Saturday, which is coming up a week on Saturday, on December the 3rd. Finally, a little event from the events diary of John Wenham and Siren, etc. The Grosvenor Hall Care Home on Saturday the 6th of December, which is indeed Small Business Saturday, will be running a Christmas fair at the Grosvenor Hall Care Home on Newark Road. The annual Christmas fair will be taking place, where apart from a grand raffle, there will be tombola tickets, CDs, DVDs, books, cakes and Christmas cards for sale. There'll also be a Christmas lucky dip. Inquiries to the Grosvenor Hall Care Home on 01522 528870. That's 01522 528870. Up next, Joe Hemmings, but first, Bipolar Sunshine, and not so much Why Does the World Go Round, but Deck Chairs on the Moon. So, coming up, we have the exciting, wonderful world of Small Business Saturday, and indeed a whole range of things to celebrate the joy of the local shop, the value of the local shop to the local economy, and so on. In fact, something like £537 million in added value services are provided by small shops in our community. We're delighted then to welcome to the show to actually address this and indeed key related topics, ACE, behavioural psychology expert, and indeed Topsoil from the Universities of Warwick and London. Of course, we're talking about the only one and only legendary Joe Hemmings. Joe, how are you?
All right, thank you. Gosh, after that introduction, much better than I was.
Well, they're positive stuff there. This particular...
Thank you.
This aspect, I mean, one of the things which I'm most curious about this is you have that wonderful mass conglomerate American Express, etc., really coming out in favour of the small independent shop as opposed to the kind of the mega complexes and out-of-town shopping centres.
Well, yes, of course, it's not knocking the sort of out-of-town shopping centres anyway, and they have their place. I think what it's doing is highlighting or putting the spotlight, if you like, on some of those small independent shops that sometimes get a bit overlooked, get a bit neglected, and finding out from people what sort of value they felt they had. And actually, some of the statistics, if you like, or the survey study findings were quite surprising. I mean, they are considerably important to a lot of people as part of their lives. I mean, we've got 46% of people saying they see their shopkeepers, their local shopkeepers, more often than they see their own family. So you can see the kind of role that these small independent shops play in people's lives.
And it's certainly something that you can't say in the main. I mean, obviously there are changes and it depends on all sorts of things. But in the main, if you go to the kind of the mega supermarket stores, etc., oft times you might speak to one and then you never speak to them again ever. Or maybe it might be a year that passes. I mean, obviously casual labour forces work through. That social interaction is quite interesting. I mean, I noticed that the report suggests that the sense of community with small shops is actually 24%. Higher compared to other areas. So there is a sort of sense of bonding together for positive reasons here.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, in a way, it's like they're the hub, if you like, of not social activity, but certainly sort of neighbourliness, which is the kind of word that we tend to overlook these days. But what the small shopkeepers or small shops, what they do are things, I suppose, that go in above and beyond what any larger shop could do. Which is sort of checking on the elderly and vulnerable, you know, listening to you if you've got something you want to talk about, often personally delivering items free of charge, you know, sourcing you some particular product that you might want. I mean, they're the sort of small, sort of hard to quantify above and beyond the value of anything they sell, sort of things that really seem to matter to people.
For a number of years, there was a suggestion that actually if you wanted bespoke small shops and stores and so on, you had to actually go to country shows like Burley and Badminton and the horse trials and various other factors. Do you think we're getting back to the days where, you know, just as actually in the city of Lincoln, we actually have a whole area up Steep Hill, which is full of bespoke small stores and small shops, etc., that actually that model can be rolled out and kind of reinvented through the rest of the country?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, no one here, and as you say, it is American Express, of course, you know, no one's knocking the bigger stores or the high street chains or the malls. You know, it's a sort of another thing. It's options for us, if we like. And I think, yeah, it's lovely to have the idea of having something permanent in your locality as opposed to just, as you say, the fairs or the festivals that, you know, you go to where you can buy some of these products to actually have a store we're supporting. Selling it all the time is a good add-on to a neighbourhood.
And just to add on to the win-win situation, looking at the sort of what's in it for the communities themselves, I was astounded to actually find that if you do the figures, the average small shop will reinvest something like £148,000 back into their local economy. I presume that's more than just ground rents and rates and such like.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, you know, 60p in every pound spent by them goes back into the economy. So that's pretty significant. Never mind all the social value. You've actually got, you know, a good solid economy. I'm no George Osborne here, but, you know, there is that sort of solid economic background to it as well.
Believe me, Joe, there are lots of people who would say whether we'd be in a much better state if you were the Chancellor of the Exchequer, but that's for another tale.
Right, OK, next job.
In terms of Small Business Saturdays, we mentioned it's coming up on the 6th of December. It's a consciousness-raising exercise as much as anything else. We'd like to say it's hopefully not just for the season of Advent, it's actually for the whole year round. Would you say this is the start and it's good for people to get into the habit of maybe actually doing their weekly shop, or at least some of those weekly shop in the small shop, and supporting them quite actively?
Very much so. As you say, it is just spotlighting it on that day and for the next few weeks, but obviously it's a year-round activity. Mm. But the well-being of people seems to be so much higher when they do shop there and when they get to know their local shopkeepers. So, yeah, get out there and do it.
As we say, go and support the local small shops in your community on the 6th of December and beyond. The two final questions remain the same, Joe, apart from obviously when you're considering to actually stand as the next Chancellor of the Exchequer, which could be interesting for 2015. But have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have, and thank you very much for inviting me on. It's been great. Thank
and
you.
Hopefully we can connect with you again in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of how these small shops are developing.
Thank you. I hope so.
I said there was a part of me which thought, well, Joe actually had a little tipsy wine there in the background. I was like, sorry, Joe. Right. Marvellous stuff. Next week, we hope we're featuring a writer, broadcaster and psychotherapist, Christine Webber. I'll be back with us talking about the Great British Whinge in terms of weather forecasting, etc. We're going to the Los Angeles Zoo, of course, on Wednesday. Should be fun, Emma.
Very much. Mm.
And also speaking to Paul Terry, who's ace author of the Book of 100 Lists, which, of course, is available for competition. We'll run the competition once. It's running for the next couple of weeks, of course, and we'll open it up once again on Wednesday. But if you know the answer to who actually wrote the Rorschach texts, and you send that in to Studio at Siren Online, marked for the Midweek Drive attention, then you could actually win an early Christmas present.
Yes.
Which would be splendid. Marvellous stuff, though, courtesy of Paul Terry himself. Well, that's it, basically, Emma. Have you enjoyed the programme today?
I have done so very much.
Excellent. And I take it then all set for, yes, tomorrow, first ever location report.
I'm very excited.
Choirs are there, everything's mounting it, it's fantastic.
Very
where
Christmas-y.
You happen to be. Actually, it's the theme from the mission, so it's really South America. So, nothing to do with Christmas at all, it's Ennio Morricone, but it is seeing us out of the Midweek Drive morning edition today. Lots of great stuff still to come on Siren. We've got Lita Rosen with Motor City Resonation at 12, No Adults Allowed at 3, and of course, the Thursday Drive between 5 and 7. Stay tuned to Siren 107.3 FM, or check out the podcast on sirenonline.co.uk. Spread the Siren word, be happy. Emma Tinson. Can we say goodbye?
Goodbye.